Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am your humble servant, Scott McKenzie. But you know that, you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform, this Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals. You are changing the world. You have to get your message out there. That's what this is all about. Go to industrialtalk.com, find out more. If you want to be on the show, we've got a great interview. We're going to be talking about marketing, sales. We're going to be talking about technology as a whole and the use of a product called Social Jukebox. I use it. You should too. So let's get going. Yeah, Tim Fargo is the founder and developer of the Social Jukebox platform. That's Social Jukebox. And he's a big thinker. And he was trying to figure out a way of being able to post more frequently, more consistently, have a randomizer, have your content out there. And that's what we're all about. We've got to keep that in the forefront of our minds as industrial professionals trying to get our message out there, because if you're going to change the world, you got to get that message out there. So that's what this conversation is all about. But before we proceed into the interview, I have to recognize a sponsor, and that is Infor EAM. You've heard about it. Industry 4.0, the digitization of industry, and you need technology. If you want to get engaged, if you want to part of the changing Industry 4.0, you need a powerful, flexible, expandable, nimble system. And that's what Infor EAM product is all about. It has a great design. Implementations are not as difficult as others in the past, because I've been there, done that. I know exactly what it's all about. And I'm telling you, they've got a team of individuals that are just passionate about your success. That is Infor EAM, Enterprise Asset Management. Check them out. Just go to Infor.com. You will find out more. Okay, let's get on with this. Okay, this gentleman's name is Tim Fargo. And my background with Tim has been one of, I need a product that allows me to be able to take the feed of all of the podcasts that I do, all of the content that is generated that is specific to industry, and be able to consistently, on a randomized basis, publish. Because it is what it is. Either you embrace the technology or you don't, and others will. So I'm here to tell you that this interview with Tim, he is an author too. Not only does he do a social jukebox, he's also an author, and his book is Alphabet Success. I read it. It's a no-hold-bar necessity on how to market and why you need to market. So anyway, this is Tim Fargo, president, founder of Social Jukebox, which is the product I use. And we're going to be talking a little bit about how to leverage that technology to get your message out. So enjoy the conversation. Here is Tim. All right, you Industrial Talk listeners, this is Tim Fargo. He is president of Social Jukebox. Tim, welcome to the Industrial Talk podcast. So glad that you made time in your busy schedule to be on the podcast.
Scott, thanks so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
It's an honor. By the way, so that you listeners know out there, I use his product called Social Jukebox. I love it. So it's not going to be an infomercial, but I just want to make sure that you understand I use Social Jukebox, and it's a great product. And we've got a wonderful coupon at the end of the presentation, or at the end of the podcast, that we're going to talk about. Hey, Tim, for the listeners out there, give us a little background on who you are and where you come from. And we're going to talk about how to market, we're just going to go right on into it. So Tim, give us a little background on who you are.
Who am I? Geez, that's a great question. I'm still trying to figure out the answer.
Try not to bore me and the listener. No, just kidding, man. Yeah, very good.
I've kind of been an entrepreneur all my life. I mean, and I suppose that was born out of my dad was a little bit of a tough ask on money. So I quickly figured out if I wanted some, it'd be easier for me to make it than try to squeeze it out of him. Mm-hmm. So I started out in Akron, Ohio, delivering newspapers, shoveling snow, cutting grass. And then fast forward, went to school for finance and accounting, got out of that and ended up working in kind of a custom software house where we were doing accounting and process systems for small to medium-sized businesses. And then eventually I started an investigative company, not because I was interested in investigations, but I saw kind of an opportunity to sort of bring modern tech into a pretty old-fashioned business. And we scaled that from an extra bedroom to a $20 million business and got bought for $20 million. We got bought for one times revenue in 2003. So that was kind of a somewhat of a retirement event. And then I was doing projects and stuff and actually had come out with my book and got so sick of posting on all the different social media platforms. So I contacted the guy who used to be head of IT for Omega, which is the investigative company that I had started and sold, and said, hey, can you put together a product for me that'll post to these social media platforms, specifically Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook? And he's like, yeah, we can do that. So we put it together, and from the beginning, it wasn't actually going to be a business. It was just a product for me because I'm just lazy. So,
you can't say that. Technology is being, you just got to use technology specifically today, whether you like it or not, you listeners out there, technology is going to be impacting it, and you can do more with less. And that's exactly what we were talking about through this sort of fledgling automation posting, you know, solution.
Well, you know, it's a great point there. Okay. Because to me, because I had a couple of people that signed up for Social Jukebox and then said they were going to cancel. And so I asked, like any good business owner, like, why are you leaving? And they said, well, we hired a social media manager. And I said, why would you want to get rid of a $20 a month expense to have a human do something that adds zero value and will take an inordinate amount of their time to take care of? Why wouldn't you keep the product and then let that person do something that actually requires a brain and have them manage that instead of, you know, I mean, to me, it's like it's like hiring an NFL player and saying, you know, we love you, but we're not going to give any pads, no helmet. Because after we paid your salary, there's no money left in the budget for that stuff. Come on.
It makes complete sense. Hey, Tim, real quick, move up your mic to your mouth a little bit. There you go. Ah, nice, nice, silky, smooth voice right there. Okay. So that to me is that's an aha moment. And you listeners know about my journey and the journey with the Industrial Talk podcast and the technology that exists out there. And what he just explained was, how can I be more, post out there without me just sitting there going, okay, I got another post, wake up in the morning, I got to post this thing, and then be able to do that consistently every day, you know, all the time. And you saw the need, Tim. And I'm telling you guys, this is really, you got to look into this. So anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. I'm big into automation, and leveraging technology as a way of automating your processes is key. So anyway.
Well, and what was funny is I came out, like I had this product developed for me, and the idea was I was going to sell my book. Well, it quickly became apparent that people were much more interested in how I managed to post 24/7 than they were in my book. So being at least a reasonably competent business person, I was like, well, you can keep trying to push this rock up the mountain, or you can go ahead and get behind the rock that's rolling down, which is that people are interested in the software. So at the time, like the skin, I mean, we had a horrible UI because it was just for me, and I didn't care. So we reskinned it, and then we put it out as a free product. We had thousands of people sign up for it, and then thought, okay, well, that's pretty neat. Do you think anyone will pay for it? So then we put up a payment gateway, and lo and behold, there's a business, which will be 4 years old as a actual profit self-funded business. We're hitting our fourth year November 1st.
So what fascinates me about the product itself, now we're going to talk a little bit more about your book, because your book, Alphabet Success, which is, I've been reading that book. There is a couple of points that I want to point out for the listeners out there. But before we go on, what fascinates me about technology today and what you recognize, you said, hey, I don't care what it looks like. It's just for me. I'm going to post. I don't care about my UI, blah, blah, user interface for you out there. And then all of a sudden, you realize, okay, maybe there's a business. And then you modify that UI. And what I found, Tim, that technology today, people have great user experience. They recognize the necessity to have a user experience that is positive to use your product. And so I was always concerned that I can't do this. It's too difficult. It's going to be hard. And it's going to cause a lot of problems for me. And I'm going to get frustrated. I want to make sure that everybody understands out. That's not the case. Technology today and the people who develop technology understand the necessity to make that user experience, you know, remove that friction from that user experience. Your product does that. I mean, it's not that difficult, guys. It isn't. I mean, you could be posting regularly with this product. And I've also, I've done videos on yours too, so the links as well. I've just, all of that stuff, it can be done.
Sure.
And with this podcast, it'll all just RSS feed right on into it and everything's fine. Done.
Well, and I mean, this for me is such a critical piece of getting people to understand that it's not just, of course, having it post for you is important because it saves you time. I mean, that's a given. But there's another benefit, and that is if you want an active social media following.
Yeah.
I mean, people think a couple things. One is people aren't going to hang around waiting for you to post sporadically. You need to have consistent information going out, because I liken it to having a look, like each social media account is like your own little campfire. And if there's no flames, people are going to walk by your campsite because they're going to think you're sleeping or you moved on. Yeah.
Great
so
analogy.
You keep that fire burning. And, you know, for my perspective and what I have told clients all along is don't take the time and just give it all back to your business. Take the time to invest in your content that you're putting out. Take the time you save from posting and make sure that what you're putting out relative to your business, where you're trying to draw people to your business, is actually something that benefits them. You know, I'll get people sometimes will say, Tim, I'm really frustrated with the platform. And I'm like, all right, well, let me take a look at your account. So I'll go in and look. And the only thing they've turned Social Jukebox into basically a spam engine to just send out ad after ad after ad. And I'm not saying you shouldn't promote yourself, but if you spend your time promoting yourself by solving your customers' problems through social media rather than just advertising yourself, I mean, you know, there's a business that is just advertising. It's called Home Shopping Network. But there's not a lot of people signing up for stuff like that. People will tune in to your channel if you're giving them information on how they can do business better, how they can use your service or product better. People are interested in, you know, and you can put out solutions that would be maybe buried in some part of your website, but this is an opportunity to actively try to engage in a conversation with your clients about things that matter to them. If you solve your clients' problems, you will always have clients.
Boy, Tim, that's profound. And I mean, it's we take it for granted. It sounds so simple. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tim. If I'm solving my customers' problems, I will always have customers. And that's, but unfortunately, we always want to talk about our widget. You're talking about solving customers' problems, and your content needs to reflect that. And listeners, it's It sounds like, oh yeah, it's all cliche, whatever, solve your customer. It's the truth. It is spot on, because I'm not going to listen to you if you're not solving my problem. And the reason I have Tim on the doggone podcast is because he was solving my problem. That's why. And plus, we go to the same barber and we look like brothers. If you're out there on videos, that's what we, it is what it is. We're both sort of very glossy at the top.
Yes.
No, profound. So what you have is you have a tool, and the tool is economically feasible. Trust me, it is. And that you can sit there and communicate and create that campfire, continue to create and grow that campfire and followers with content that solves their problems. I love that analogy, Tim. But before we get going, I want to make sure he has a book, Alphabet Success. Alphabet Success. Now, I didn't know how to spell alphabet until I looked at it. But anyway, there is a statement that I want you to expand upon a little bit. And I want you listeners to sort of hear this out. Because as an entrepreneur, and just as a business professional, I think this is just a great analogy. And I pointed it out. And I want him to explain a little bit about the drinking horn. The drinking horn. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go into tangible, tactile type of approach on what we can do to better your business. So give us a little background on the drinking horn.
Well, I use it as an example in the book because I think one of the things that happens too often with people is they have kind of a passing fancy, like, oh, I'm going to do something. and then, you know, we all, I mean, I actually, right before we got on the air together, I went out for a run, and it actually is, it's a pretty windy day here. And so, you know, I mean, there were headwinds, there was some traffic, you know, like trying not to get hit by a car. But you know, so there's obstacles. There's always going to be these obstacles. But the question is, like, how do you keep going? And the idea of the drinking horn is, you know, the thing's curved at the bottom. So once you fill it, there is no, like, let me set this down over here. you're gonna drink what's in the drinking horn, or you're gonna pour it out. But there, I mean, you know, the point is you're gonna drink it. And I love this as a metaphor. You know, I mean, when you wanna get something done, giving yourself the mental construct of it's gotta happen. Like the only way to drain the drink, I mean, you can't just set the drinking horn down. You've gotta drain it, you gotta drink it. So and I like that. I mean, and I even have told my kids, you know, similar things, like, you know, when you treat success like, you know, having breakfast, when you force yourself to do things like and you make it part of your day, you know, that you see things to completion, like with the drinking horn, that's how success happens. I mean, people have this tendency to think that, I don't know, stuff just like falls out of the sky. But to me, once you commit to a course of action, it's sticking with it, even when it's not easy, because that's where most people get lost.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they run into, oh, this is kind of tough. Like, well, yeah. I'll give you a great example. My daughter just sent me a message earlier today, and she's in the process of applying to med school. And she said, oh, this application process sure is hard. I said, well, it's medical school. You know, you were going to put a quarter in a machine, and they were going to go, wow, you're in.
Wow, fantastic.
You know, I mean, I think that might diminish the quality of the profession a little bit.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, you're going to go through, there's going to be hassles. It's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of schools that tell you to go away. We're not interested, but you'll fill out enough applications. You apply to enough places. You push hard enough. You talk to enough people and you'll get in,
yeah.
You know, and then it's phase two. But
yeah.
But the idea of the drinking horn, like, you have got to complete this thing.
Yeah.
And you're right. You said it. I mean, there's a lot of people go, oh, that's just so cliche. Yeah, of course you got to stick with it. But do you?
No, do you?
Like, my whole book, Alphabet Success, there's not probably nothing in that book that people haven't heard before.
Right.
But do you do it?
That's
I know you know it. It's great that you know it, but do you do it?
Right.
See, I mean, because knowing it doesn't do anything for you. You know, I mean, you can know that stopping smoking will make you healthier, but it's the actual stopping smoking that does make you healthier. It's not knowing.
I need to lose weight. How do I lose weight? Back away from the donut. Back away.
Exactly.
There it is. And but your you know, listeners out there, that is sort of the motivational moment. And I love the metaphor of the you can't put it down, and you just got to push through. You just got to do it. You got to. It comes from the heart. I just, you know, when I was reading your book, I that one just sort of stuck out because I can. I'm not going to put it down. I've got to drink that beer. I got to drink, and then somebody's going to come back and he's going to fill it back up, and I've got to continue on. I'm not going to spill it out. Anyway, I just think that that's a great metaphor for you industrial professionals out there. Don't give up. Don't. Keep drinking from that horn. A couple of things that I also want to point out before we take a break. You got to be active out on those social platforms, and that's what we were talking about. You can't just be sporadic. You can't just, if you want to create a following, you've got to have a strategy to be able to do that on a consistent basis with great content that solves customers' problems. It's pretty straightforward, pretty direct, but that's the reality of it. You got to keep your campfire burning, and if you don't, people are going to walk by the camp. Another great metaphor. And they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, they must be in the tent. They must be, you know, sleeping. That's real important. Now, in the next segment, listeners, we're going to talk a little bit about actionable items. You know, get your pen and paper out. That's what's important. We're going to go down about 5 points of what we can do today to make you a better company tomorrow. So stay tuned to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line, and that you could be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon, and be safe out there. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know, we're talking to a gentleman by the name of Tim Fargo. He is the president of Social Jukebox. And we were talking during the break of, let's lay the foundation. Let's talk about old school thinking when you were, you know, going through your business, and then what it is today, to help the listeners understand and give them a perspective of how things are changing, okay?
Well, as we were talking about, as you mentioned, I mean, back in the day, I mean, how did you get the word out about your business before social media, before all that? I mean, you needed to know the editors of all the trade publications in your industry. So for me, running an insurance investigation firm, it was Business Insurance Magazine, Risk and Insurance Magazine, Risk Management Magazine, Claims Magazine. I mean, this was, you know, that was kind of the ecosystem we were swimming in. So I was constantly like in touch with these people. You know, we did a little bit of ad work with them, but then I'd write an article about how to use this stuff. And that's, I mean, that's how we were putting out helpful content for our customers back then. And it worked. You know, I mean, using that avenue was great. And it certainly was superior. We got much better results out of posting helpful content than we ever did out of an ad. So segue to today, how does it work today? Well, customers are looking for information all over the place. And if you can become, through social media, the place where people go to find out relevant industry information, because you're helping them understand the market, you're helping them understand how to solve problems they have, that you become you no longer have to ask permission. Yeah. You no longer have to find a gatekeeper that's going to let you on board. You can post as much helpful content as you want. Yeah. So, I mean, the world's it's more challenging because there's a lot of noise out there, but in the same sense, it's not, because there's a lot of people on social media. There's a lot of companies on social media, and 99% of them post stuff that doesn't help anyone except them. So if you can be one of the 1% who's actually engaged in proper marketing that is helping your customers either solve a problem through using you, or if you're a really good marketer, you'll direct the client to someone else if that's a better solution for them, knowing that you've built a relationship of trust and they'll come back to you. But you can do all that on social media now, but it's up to you to come up with the content. And then, you know, relative to what I do, we just distribute it.
Yeah. See, and that's a great segue into those. I want to be able to, let's just sort of summarize that sort of you today, as opposed to yesterday, you can create and be that source of knowledge and content and help, because it's there. You just got to do it. And if you embrace the drinking horn, you just do it and you don't give up. You just, it's consistency, and it requires that continuous push for value and to help your customer. That's today. And you can do that today, you industrial pros out there, you companies. Be the solution to your customers' problems and you won't have any problem. And refer people to people who can solve problems too. That's a big deal. I agree with you 100%, Tim. We must have come from the same family. I am just enjoying it. Definitely follically challenged. Hey, now, with that said, you had me at, okay, I want to provide great content that solves problems for my customers, and I want to leverage technology and automation. Let's go down to some sort of bullet points so that listeners can say, okay, pen and paper, got it. Number one, go. That type of thing.
You know what the first thing I would say that I think is super important? Try to create content that can be placed on multiple platforms. So let's say that you've got an idea, you've got a revolutionary new cleaning technique. I'm just coming up with something off the top of my head.
It's all good.
So you've got this new cleaning technique. So you're going to do a video about it. That's great. That video, you can also break out the audio. The video can go to YouTube. You can break out the audio and put that on SoundCloud or wherever. You can create it as a podcast, and it can go out as an audio-only file. You can then have someone transcribe it, have someone edit it down a little bit. Then you've got a blog post. So now you've got, if you've got a client who likes to read stuff, you've got something for them. Yeah. If you've got a client who wants to listen to your podcast on their morning drive, they or their, you know, exercise routine, whatever, they can listen to that. And if you've got people who really are visual and they want to see you talking about it, they can jump on YouTube and do that. All from one single effort, that one single silo of content, you've got three pieces of content that you've come out to help your clients and satisfy, because everyone learns in different ways. Not everyone's going to want to read your content. Some people are going to want to listen. So I highly encourage people to find ways. I mean, the industry term for that is called repurposing.
Repurposing, yes.
Yeah. So,
But I want to make sure that's why we are recording this video. It's exactly why we're recording this video. One is because it's a video. Two, it'll get transcribed. Three, it's already an audio, and I can manipulate it, and I can do whatever I want. And then I can snip it, too. I can say, hey, that's a great little snippet, and then snip it out, and then say, hey, you want to listen? There are so many ways of being able to cut this one interview, and you've got to think about that, you industrial listeners out there. How many things can I get from this one effort? And that's why we record. It just is. Because somebody's going to listen. And I can also transcribe it and have closed captioning. So people who want to read looking at the video. It's not that difficult. It's all available and it's all there for your, you know, taking. All right. Sure. I like that. Repurposing. Yeah, I like that. That's a big deal. Number two.
Well, and then I'd say the second piece is finding, because when you post things, I mean, if you go to any platform, and it's doesn't matter even if your clients maybe aren't using social media as much for their own business, they're all probably familiar on a basic level with Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. But what gets noticed? What gets noticed are things that are visually appealing. So whether you're putting out a clip from the video you did, or you're taking a graphic that relates to it, that's an attractive graphic. I mean, people need to think in terms of, hey, you know, you are, it's great to have content. I mean, that's the biggest first step. Then the second piece is, how do you get people to notice it? Because that's the second challenge. And, you know, like one of the things I did was for a particular post I had, which was about learning to kind of be grateful for what you have. And it had a guy like lighting a cigar with $100 bills. Now, that's a little bit clickbaity, but it generated a lot of interest because people were like, what's that about? Because it wasn't like the normal thing they saw on their feed. So my point here is, you know, you want to, when you're posting your content, have video or some kind of still graphic with it that allows, that brings it to the forefront of the person who's following you or like who's, you know, looking at your page or whatever.
One of the things that I didn't realize the importance of, and to your point there, Tim, it's one thing to have great graphics, great content, like you said. That helps, and it's important, and it's all fine. But what always caught me, and I didn't realize it, and this is also a learning experience, is the copy, that header, whatever that copy is, and then the graphics. And if I'm not liking the graphics, if I just, it's like, I'm not reading, it could be a life-changing experience, the content in that particular whatever. But if I'm not interested in the graphics or the header didn't catch me, I moved on. And I think one of the things with, and why Social Jukebox is sort of an interesting product is that I can sit there and I can test certain things. You've got this digital mortality that it's pretty quick. You only got an instantaneous to grab somebody's attention, but you can sit there and you can say, how's that graphic? What's this? You can play around and you can learn, you can grow. I think that that's real important.
Well, and one of the things I also recommend related to that, I was on a different podcast a couple years ago, and I was promoting the episode. And I came up with three different graphics to promote that episode.
Yeah.
And one of them outperformed the other two combined. So, you know, by doing a little upfront testing and seeing what drives, and I'll be honest, when I did all three, you could have put a gun to my head. I would have never picked that as the winner.
Wow.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. I mean, and I figured they'd all draw within, you know, a relatively
plus or minus, whatever. Yeah.
But one of them just, it for whatever reason, and I couldn't have picked it up, like I say, from the beginning. And so I really advocate trying a few things, like, because you'll have people go, well, I posted it and nobody read it. It's like, well, I mean, it's one thing if they got to it and they didn't finish it, but it's another thing, like, if you're just not getting click through, then you probably need to try a different graphic. So like A-B testing or even ABC, trying multiple approaches. I mean, this is kind of the drinking horn all over again.
It is completely the drinking horn. I agree with you 100%. I was looking at the word drinking horn because you can say, nobody's reading my content. And it could be great content. And what, do you just give up at that point in time? He's like, or do you do a little research into, maybe it's the header, maybe it's the graphics, maybe I isolate what it might be. You got to do that.
And related to this, I'm going to talk, I want to talk a little bit about an approach that a lot of marketers use online that I think is after the same idea, but I think is massively counterproductive, and that is don't drift in to BS clickbait type copywriting for your posts or your graphics. I mean, be true to what you're doing. I'm not saying you should try to post things that are boring, but you know, your post about your new cleaning process shouldn't be like entitled, you know, Elvis's love baby turns 35 in the Nevada desert. You'll get people that'll have these ridiculous clickbaity titles, and then you click on like an article or whatever it is, and it's got little or nothing to do with the headline. You know, it's like, and for me, the number one thing all of us are trying to do, I mean, part of this, like using it for marketing, I mean, you're wanting to build a relationship, and relationships are built on trust. So if when you post things, they like, and someone clicks on it and they end up somewhere like very different from where they thought they'd be, you're kind of violating that. And
absolutely.
It's not worth the initial click to get the reputation of being somebody who posts nonsense. I'm not even going to click on it because who knows where I'll end up. When people click on something, they go, hey, this guy said he was going to teach me something, and boy, he sure did. When you get that kind of, you know, relationship, it works great. So it's just a little bit of a caution, because I think we all love to like drive traffic. We all, you know, if you're a marketer in particular, you know, there's nothing like thinking, ah, man, I'm going to get people to do something. But you want them to do it for the right reason, so that, I mean, even if you don't have it, it's not as important to have a zillion readers. It's more important to have readers that matter, that arrived there for the right reason.
Big time again, Tim. That's exactly right. Digital integrity. I'll summarize it as.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to sum it up. Digital integrity.
Yeah. And boy, that is, you don't want to be known as a clickbait person. Nothing more frustrating than clickbait. It, for me personally, I mean, there's other frustrations. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
of course.
But no, if I'm in there and I'm looking at, and I want to, the header says X, Y, Z, anyway, it's got a link between the header and in the content, and all of the stuff's got to sort of jive together. It's important. I agree with you. Digital integrity, do not compromise on, find your voice. Find your writing strategy. Find it. Have people that truly want to follow you because of who you are. I like that. All right. Got another truth bomb right there?
Thank you. Well, and I think the, you know, another thing that people, and this is, I think sometimes just has to do with, it's a little bit people's apprehension to automation and reposting content. Don't for a moment think that people are going to be paying enough attention to your account that you posting the same thing twice is going to buy. They're not, even your mom isn't sitting staring at your Twitter account, okay? She's got other stuff to do. She loves you, but she's got other stuff to do.
Oh, that's great.
And I've told so many people, like, and I've had the conversation with people who follow me saying, oh, I noticed you posted this again. I'm like, yeah, well, you've seen it maybe a few times,
yes. But
there's a lot of people who are just seeing it for the first time.
That's right. And
that's one of the things that really needs to be addressed is, and I like to emphasize, is don't be afraid of repetition. I'm not talking about repeating over like the same thing in the same day, but you know, if every few days, like even with your content, you know, like maybe you have a podcast from a year ago, but it's still evergreen content that people are going to enjoy, and they haven't seen it before because they haven't been to your feed before. Now, it might be the 27th time it's posted, but that's the first time that the person who you care about sees it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, and there's actually, this is one thing, it's a little bit related to this, and it's just a pet peeve of mine. There's a number of platforms that have this thing. It's called best time to post.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, you're not buying a Super Bowl ad, okay? I mean, the only thing those algorithms go off of is when are people online, okay? So, yeah, you know what? If you're in North America and the majority of your clients are in North America, big shocker here, between 8 a.m. and, say, 6 p.m. is when the predominance of people are engaging on, I mean, some people into the evening, but, I mean, the biggest bump is during the day, and then when night comes, amazingly, North America goes rather quiet.
Go figure.
But, you know, if you're like me, I mean, my company's international. I have clients all over the world. So, I mean, I'm posting in what is arguably the middle of the night. So, and if I just went off of, well, like, where are most of my clients? Most of my clients are in North America. But doesn't mean I still don't want clients in New Zealand or Australia or Japan. So,
I'm sorry. I've just had an aha moment. I don't do that. And I know I have listeners all over the world in the industry. And I don't do that. That's bizarre. It was just an aha. I don't post all around. I take and I look at, okay, here, I'll even do 6 a.m. and I might push it out to 7 p.m.
Right.
But that's it. But I didn't realize until you mentioned it that I do have other listeners all over the world. Thank you.
Well, that's, and you never nice. Know. You never know.
You like never
I
know.
And because there's no cost. I mean, Social Jukebox doesn't charge per post. There's no cost for posting on the social media platforms. So since you're in a zero cost environment, once the content is created, why not post it sometimes in the evening?
Yeah.
Because who knows? Maybe the cleaning client you're trying to reach has got insomnia. So he's on Facebook and he goes, oh, look at this. And he reads it. People think they know, but they don't know. I remember when I first got onto Twitter, I thought I was going to be like the digital DJ, finding all the best hits for people at the right times.
Right, right.
And what was funny is when I went to more random posting once Social Jukebox's prototype was built, I couldn't have predicted the things that did the best in a given day. No way. Because it depends on what else is happening. Sometimes somebody who's got a really big following retweets, like say on Twitter, something you do. So again, I think there's no point not to post in the evening because maybe somebody will see it and it'll be a value to them. And all of a sudden, you know, you'll have a client or who knows, maybe somebody in a different division of a company you do business with locally will see it and tell someone else about it. You don't know. And like I say, since there's zero cost to doing it, why wouldn't you?
See, that's brilliant. That is. We can keep on talking all day. All right, listeners, we're going to have to wrap this up. Unfortunately, here are a couple of things. I want to make sure that you understand that when you look at content, let's repurpose it. Let's figure out how many pieces of product value you can get out of that particular. And I'm telling you, we don't do that enough. Don't shake off your graphics or the copy associated with that. You got to get that attention. We talked about digital integrity. Don't just throw something out there for clickbait and mislead people. Digital integrity, what you have to tell the people and how you help them is important. Don't just compromise your integrity. And then don't be frightened from repurpose or reposting something multiple times, because who knows? It might be the first time for somebody to gain value, and that might be a wonderful customer for you in the future. Very good words of wisdom. Now, everybody goes out on LinkedIn, but when we talked, you're a Twitter guy, right?
Si, senor.
Okay, so if you need to get a hold of Tim, which I highly recommend that you do, His best platform, of course, is Twitter. And it all the information will be out on the show notes on industrialtalk.com. And then also his, do you have no problem with the email address? That I
got? Oh, no, no, I'm fine.
That's Tim at socialjukebox.com, right?
At Tim at socialjukebox.com. Happy to answer any questions.
That is fantastic. That is absolutely wonderful. All right. I hate to wrap it up, but we'll have to. Now, you listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be coming back on the close of the show. We're going to wrap all this stuff. We're going to reiterate how you get a hold of Tim. And once again, Tim, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. It was great talking to you. It's never enough time.
Scott, thanks for having me.
Before you're going to give us a discount.
Industrial, baby.
Jeez, I forgot that. You go to Social Jukebox, and it'll be in the show notes. Go to Social Jukebox and type in industrial coupon, industrial, not coupon, industrial, and you get $10 off your first month. That's pretty simple and straightforward. All right. Thank you again, Tim. Thank you very much for joining. And you listeners out there, hang tight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hi there, Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk, and I have some questions to ask you. Do you want to create more digital attention? Do you want to sell more and create more opportunities? Do you want to connect with your target market? Now, if you said yes to any of those questions, then the Industrial Talk podcast platform is for you. We can get you up and running in a matter of hours with a branded podcast specific to you and your company. All you need to do is just reach out, click the link below. Let's have a conversation and let's see how we can help you get into the podcast business and be able to create those opportunities through the power of podcasting. I look forward to talking to you and have a great day. All right, everyone out there, thank you very much for listening to the Industrial Talk podcast. That is Tim Fargo. I highly recommend, and I mean I highly recommend, that you contact him. He's very active on Twitter. So if you need to get a hold of him, if you're looking for a strategy to be able to post your content consistently all day, all night, whatever the strategy might be, I guarantee you need to reach out to Tim. And thank you once again. Also, if you have any interest in understanding more about how you can market your business, go to industrialtalk.com, find out more out there. There's a program for you. You need to get your message out without a doubt. Either you learn, which is through the Industrial Academy, or we can talk and how we can help you get your message out on a consistent basis. Both options out there on industrialtalk.com. Thank you again. Thank you, Tim, for joining. And thank you, listeners, for being here. And we're going to continue to have great conversations and great opportunities to listen to the best of the best. And thank you. So be safe out there. And you will hear from me real soon. Take care.